Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
I'm Maria, and this is season 7, episode 3 of Sticky Pickles. Gobble, gobble, gobble. And those damn TLAs.
Listeners, before we start, we do have special news. We are celebrating our third anniversary of Sticky Pickles. So at the end of the episode, you can go listen to all the crazy stats that we have so you can see that you're not alone out there.
You are not the only sticky pickle.
Absolutely not.
Our pickles and picklets. Actually, our listeners are called picklets, aren't they? Isn't that what we decided?
Yes. I love picklets.
Or a cornichon. A gherkin.
I love a cornichon.
I do love a cornichon also. Those are my faves. Cornichon. So maybe that's what we should call our listeners is cornichons.
Yes.
Pickles. Oh, no, they're so cute. Now I want one. I want to eat one right now for lunch. Anyway, Curl, gobble, gobble, gobble. What is your sticky pickle? Gobble, 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 gobble.
Okay. So 20-something Dawn is dating 20-something Ernie.
Dawn and Ernie. Okay.
Yep. Dawn and Ernie. And it's new and it's going great.
Is Dawn D-O-N or D-A-W-N?
D-A-W-N in this case.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know. Dawn it up the way you like, really. I think it can fly both ways. It's all good.
All good.
So they started dating just a few weeks ago, a few weeks before Canadian Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And you know when you meet that someone special, you know, you laugh at the same jokes, right? You somehow walk in step, right? You love the same music, same movies, same artists. You can even be both fans of the same ice cream treat. In this case, root beer float.
Okay.
Can I just say it's one of my favorites, listeners?
It is a delight. You took me back to the 1950s. I thought we were about to go to a sock hop and we're going to go to the soda jerk and get ourselves a root beer float.
I love a root beer float. Now, both Dawn and Ernie are graduate students, right, studying, and city life is going to be super Dullsville during the holidays, during the Thanksgiving holidays, which are coming up, because Dawn's family lives abroad, and there's just not enough cash for her to fly home for the break. So, simple, why doesn't Dawn come to Ernie's for Thanksgiving? Right? And Ernie blurts this out while they're having a few beers after eating at their local diner. The next morning, Ernie's feeling a little bit nervous, right? And kind of starts kind of backtracking a bit. Not because he doesn't want to spend every single second with Dawn, but
okay,
Ernie's family's like a little tricky. Like all families are probably tricky, but you know, Ernie feels like his family's a little tricky. We all feel that though.
I don't think there's a single family that's not tricky. Everybody thinks either their family's the worst or their family's the best. And spoiler alert, everybody's is a little crazy.
Have you been nervous bringing friends or boyfriends or girlfriends home before in the past?
Oh, yeah. I think honestly, I was more nervous about friends than boyfriends in my case.
So, okay, what were you nervous about? And I'll swap these with you. I'll tell you what I was nervous about too. So what were you nervous about? What did you think?
Do you want the real answer? Because it's kind of boring. Okay, the real answer is I had a bunch of friends, and many of them listen to this show, so this is not surprising to them at all. And hi
guys.
Hi, everybody.
Hope to meet you one day.
Oh, they love you. So yes, I know the feeling is mutual. I had many years ago invited like five of my friends over to my parents' house for U.S. Thanksgiving right. Because I live close by to where I grew up. So my parents still live in that area. And many of my friends in where we live, the Boston area, are transplants. So they're not local and they didn't want to schlep home for that year or whatever. They just didn't want to go. So I was like, let's do, you guys can come to my family's Thanksgiving that year. So Don't know if you know this, Carole, but my family is Greek. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that.
Really?
Really?
You're Greek?
What? Yeah. So, you know, my parents are Greek. Like, they are from Greece. I am a first generation American. My parents are Greek from Greece. Okay. So my friends know this. And I think all of them were sort of expecting to show up at my parents' house for Thanksgiving and have like spanakopita, lamb, all of the greatest Greek hits.
Yes.
And they show up and it's turkey, sweet potatoes, like all of the like mashed white potatoes. And they were all like, "Where's the Greek food?" And I was like, I never said there was going to be Greek food. Now, the wrinkle to this is usually at Thanksgiving, we do have Greek food.
But your mom was being beautiful and trying to make them feel comfortable.
She was. She was. And then all my friends were disappointed that there wasn't Greek food. So it was like, if we had just done our normal thing, it would have been amazing. Now, none of my friends were disappointed, like, for real. They were all very grateful. They were all lovely about it. And my mom's cooking is great. So it was wonderful. It just was so funny that afterwards they were like, "We were kind of hoping for Greek food." And I was like, "Oh, shit, really?"
Yeah. And it's a hard one, right? That thing, because I agree with that. I agree with that. Like, I remember John, my husband, spent a lot of time in Japan, and he would go to people's houses and they would always making him hamburger. Hamburger. We made you a hamburger because you love hamburgers. And, you know, he'd be like, "Oh, but I really like the fish as well and the rice and stuff. Yum, 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 yum."
Yeah, you want to accommodate your guest. I totally get it. Yep.
But anyway, very, very funny. So Ernie is backtracking a little bit. He's a little nervous. His family's nervous, right? And the thing is his aunts are going to be there, his uncles, his brothers, sisters, neighbors, schoolmates. It's like a big holiday thing in Ernie's parts. And, you know, he's thinking, Dawn's going to be overwhelmed by the number of people. How is she going to handle it when my cousin whips out his sketch pad to do an unflattering illustration of her? Because that's what he does for fun. You know, how is she going to cope with, you know, all our crazy traditions that we have in our family? So he's trying to prep her before they get into the lion's den, so to speak. And, every time he does, Dawn is like, shh, shh, shh.
Okay.
Right? Putting a finger to his lip saying, "Look, I love surprises. I really, really like you. Mm-hmm. So, no, you know, a little less of the prepping. I don't need the prepping." And he's like, "But can I just say that?" And she's like, "Shh, shh, 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 shh." Right? Okay, so fast forward Thanksgiving morning, right? Weather's glorious. Dawn and Ernie drive off, stopping to pick up like a bushel of Winfell apples from a local farm.
Oh, that's the way. Yeah.
You know, the music's jacked, mood is high. And, you know, they haven't hit Love Avenue yet, but they're certainly regularly taking a, you know, a regular detour around Lust Crescent, shall we say.
Okay. Yeah, it can happen.
It can happen. But, you know, a few left, right turns, whatever, Dawn and Ernie arrive at the family stead. And there's like, seriously, a gazillion people there of all ages. Like, so basically, Ernie is just hugging for about half an hour. You know, it feels like a gazillion. It's probably 12 people. But for Dawn, she's just like, "Hi," right? So she's meeting everybody. She's meeting Maureen. She's meeting Sally. She's meeting Tom. She's meeting Paul. She's meeting Frank. She's meeting Luke. She's meeting Mark. She's meeting Shane. A lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah. Don't quiz me on any of those names because I will not remember. Okay. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. She's just like, so, you know, they all kind of, it's just like a gaggle of noise. It's like, yeah. And come in, we're eating food. Come on in. And Ernie's aunt, she thinks it's his aunt, asks Dawn if she has any food intolerances or dislikes or whatever. And Dawn says, "No, healthy as a horse, all good." You know, as you do, yeah. Right? If you don't have any of those things, I suppose. It's like a buffet thing, right? So she's thinking, "I'm just going to pick what I want. It's all good." But no, because she's like the person of honor, a guest, they take her plate and they heap it on, including this huge slab of like lime green, like jelly.
Okay.
But there's some slop underneath, like white stuff underneath. okay?
Could be yogurt. Is it in a bunt?
Well, it turns out it's horseradish.
Oh.
It's horseradish cream topped with mint green jelly, right? And it's been out on the buffet table for a while, so the green jelly is kind of...
Is that a real thing? Should I Google that?
It was served to me, which inspired the story.
Oh, horseradish cream, mint jelly. Wow. Okay. This is me just not knowing what that is. And I'm sure some listeners are like, how have you never heard of this? Y'all, it exists.
It exists.
I love horseradish. Love it. Oh my God. I love it.
Right. So we're seeing the sitch. Your plate is full. As we say in French, plein à craquer, like heaped is the word in English.
Heaped. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And Dawn's looking at this plate and she's looking at this, you know, it's very vivid on the plate, this lime green jelly concoction. She's not sure what it is. It's not like there was a sign or anything.
Does she think it's dessert? I totally would have thought that was dessert.
Well, it's on her plate with all the other stuff, with the peas and the stuffing and the gravy and all the other things. But she tries it, right? She tries it and she really doesn't like it. She really doesn't like it.
Uh-oh.
And she looks around the table thinking, I can't be alone. And everyone's digging in. Like, right? Like, they've not eaten in days. People are just, yum, 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 everything on their plate. So, you know, she's eating around it, as you do, right? What do you do in that situation? If you like everything on a plate but one thing, you eat around it, right?
Yeah, you eat around it. I don't know if there's a better way to do it, unless there's, like, a dog. You try to sneak it in the napkin, but don't do that. Don't do that.
No, but okay. So, but it's left on your plate. And they gave you a large slab, Maria, right? A large slab, right? So you've taken a bite, but...
You could mash it with your fork a little bit. Like maybe mix it with another thing that you do like put some mashed potatoes and...
And try and stuff it in?
Yeah, like dilute it strategically. Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I'm one of those people that I am not a picky eater at all. So it takes a lot for me to be like, I am not eating that. Like, even if I don't like it, I'll still eat it just to be polite. This is why I've got weight problems, though, probably.
Well, you know what she does? She decides to kind of hide it under like her cutlery, a napkin, like you were saying, right? Just kind of shadow it.
Under a napkin? Oh, I wouldn't do that though.
Not like a cloth napkin, but like a paper napkin. Just trying to just not call attention to this because it's lime green.
Yeah, that is.
Right? It's very noticeable. Anyway, she looks around, you know, seems to get away with it. No one's complaining. Everyone's chowing down. Success, right? I've done similar. The worst thing I ever did was put, you know, like sometimes you get steak and you can't chew it and chews and chews and chews and chews and chews.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I put it in a pot plant.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so embarrassed. This was like 20 years ago. Don't judge me.
I was going to say, somebody's going to be like, what's that weird smell in my house? And I had Corolla over.
Why do we have maggots everywhere?
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. But then there's a fork clinking, right? And there's a hush that falls, you know, across the table. Hush. And she sees like Cousin Ed or Dwayne or whoever get up and say, rise, take your neighbor's hands and bow your heads, please. And she's like, okay, you know. We're doing gratitude thing. Cool.
Mm-hmm,
so everyone puts everything down, you know, and stands up, bows their heads, and everyone's quiet. And Ed or Dwayne starts going, you know, look at this table. You know, we have all loved our past. And I know that, you know, the Almighty thanks each and every one of us who have shown your gratitude on this day. You know, and Dawn during this opens her eyes, right? But Ernie... who's across the table from her. His eyes are shut, head bowed. And Dawn looks around. Everyone else's heads are bowed and, you know, listening. So she's like, okay, following suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy continues, you know, as we stand here before you today, mighty one, you know, blind and humble, I ask you how you would feel if someone at this table, you know, full of grateful people were to show your disrespect by not eating all the delicious food on their plate. And we know that this person in question, sitting here, maybe right now, is the person that feels shame. How do we know that, boss man? Because we know that they hid their food under a napkin. Okay. So, okay. At this point, what are you thinking?
Are they in war? Like, are they in wartime to the... Okay, don't invite me over for a meal ever, because honestly, I don't care if my guest doesn't finish everything on their... I don't expect people to clear their plate.
Me neither. I have been in a situation like this where no one clears the table until you finish everything.
That I've been there.
Which is what inspired this. Okay, so...
Oh, yeah, I have been there. Yes, I have been in that situation. But I've also been in the flip side situation where if you don't leave a little bit on your plate, that indicates to your host that you want more food.
Oh, yes, me too. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so then if you do clear your plate, they go, oh, clearly she wants more, second heaping, which sometimes is what you want. And sometimes you're like, I barely got through this plate because I'm stuffed or I hated half of it or whatever. And then they're like, here's more of this fermented fish or whatever. You're like, oh, no.
If we microcosm into this situation, you know they're talking about you at this point. Would you wait it out? Would you wait it out at this point? Say nothing? Don't move. Because you're holding hands.
They would feel my palms sweating at that point because I'd be like, why?
Okay, everyone's eyes are closed. You could dive your face down and shove it into your mouth, horse style.
No! You think nobody would notice that you suddenly had bent over and just went like a pig in a trough, going, nom, 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 nom. Suddenly there's green stuff all over your face, and you're like, nope, 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 nope. You're trying to move the napkin aside with your nose.
And it's really gross. You're gagging.
And then suddenly you start choking and you die. That escalated quickly. I would just sort of lean into the awkward and just maybe, knowing me, I would probably just start smiling like an idiot, being like, yep, they're talking about me. I fucked up. Yee! Yeah.
Okay, okay. But it doesn't stop there. Oh, so
great. Love this. Love this for her.
Ed or Dwayne, whoever it is, right? She doesn't know. We ask the person in question to withdraw from our circle as quietly as a mouse and complete their meal as we sit here with our heads bowed, eyes closed, singing our family Thanksgiving song.
Is this a cult? Is this like some weird sex cult? This has got to be a sex cult.
Like, okay, so at this point, you know, like, and she looks, Ernie, like, you know, they start singing. Ernie is like looking like he's like in it. Do you want me to sing a bit of the song they're singing?
Yeah, you got me on tenderhooks here. What the hell's going on? I don't quite understand.
So they start singing, five little turkeys sat in their pen. Hide, little turkey, said the red hen. One turkey flapped and flew.
You can't even finish this. Oh, this is this very special episode of Sticky Pickles. It's a musical today.
Okay, so they said five little turkeys, then they start, right? They like, four little turkeys.
Yep. Somebody's playing a very elaborate prank on her is what I would be thinking.
She knows
right now
where she's at in the timeline.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Everyone's heads are bowed. They're singing away.
Your hands are occupied. They are holding your neighbor's hands. With what free hand? Do you have a third hand?
What do you do? You got to eat the fucking lime jelly. Or would you put it in your pocket? Shove it in your pocket. Shove it in there. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to do yoga, okay? Because then you could use your leg to just put it on top of the table. Just
your toes.
Your toes. Remove your shoe with the other toe.
I'm trying to imagine a toe just quietly, just sneaky, like, you know, everything's going, this has gone off the rails, girl. I have no idea how you get at, I mean, if they're literally like standing there waiting for you, I mean, I you know what? You know what? I would just, you know what I would do? Honestly, you know what I would do? Sorry, diarrhea, and just leave.
That took about 50 hours, so watch me cut that down. Lovely Maria, Tell me about those damn TLAs.
Those damn TLAs. All right. So, TLAs. Do you know what that means?
It's a legal term.
Meaning?
Too late, asshole.
Too late, asshole. Yes, TLA means too late, asshole. I love that. That is now what that means.
TM, Stinky Pickles.
Too late, asshole. All right, so speaking of too late assholes, we've got Ted. And Ted is, I want you to imagine a school teacher who is not brand new at his job. He's been doing his job for maybe 20... what's the right number of years to not be jaded by the job of teaching the youth, but also still making some very... 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years. That's a good... Okay. So he's not jaded yet, but he has a few years under his belt. So he's not brand new to this thing.
Right.
And he's having an early career crisis, I guess you could say, where he really wants to make a difference, but he also wants to build his own brand in the sense of, like, you know, this isn't just being a teacher is not quite enough for him. He has sort of greater aspirations of becoming a thought leader in the educational space.
Right. He wants a YouTube channel.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I will be honest with you. Ted got the idea for making a bigger name for himself when he was scrolling TikTok on the toilet.
Many a great idea, I am sure.
He was swiping, you know, looking at his FYP.
Don't say that.
He was not wiping. He was swiping. He was on TikTok on the toilet, and he was, you know, bored and looking through TikTok. And he was watching other teachers who've gotten all kind of TikTok famous. Like, there's this one lady who has a color-coordinated outfit for every note of the musical scale, and she has, like, this dead stare, and she, like, makes music in an outfit that matches the music. Anyway, just whatever. If you've never been down the rabbit hole of educator, influencer, TikTok.
Wow, no. I've not been on TikTok at all. I've resisted so far.
No, I do what every person my age does and watches them when they're 3 weeks old on Instagram. That's I'm not actually on TikTok. But, yeah, there's a lot of teachers on that there because they're trying to reach – you know, other students and figure out like what engages kids that age, I guess. But it also helps you build a brand. It makes you famous. And like suddenly you're being invited to speak at conferences or write books or be on TV shows or whatever. And Ted's like, you know what? I'm a pretty interesting guy. I know that when I'm on in front of a classroom, like the kids are really listening to me. And you know what? I could do all that. I don't see what's so special about those education influencers. Like I can fucking do that. Why can't I?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this will be like a nice little, you know, give him something to do when he's not busy grading paper. Yeah, it's a hobby, right? So he's like, I can learn how to video edit and I can learn how to make great content and be like a content creator. And, you know, that's fun and never exhausting. So
I love it.
So, yeah, Ted's just like, I just need to do that. I need to like build a brand. So he reserves a TikTok profile with like, you know, Ted the teacher or something like that. And he's like, I just need to like get with the kids and figure out how to really connect with them, not just with the kids in my classroom, but like the kids beyond. So he does what every person who has reached the age of irrelevancy in social media, which is what, like 26? And he's like, I got to start speaking the youth vernacular, which is, of course, what they call it, right? So he starts testing out his knowledge of Gen Z slang in his next class. Yeah. So,
oh my God, you're doing this to embarrass me. I love you so much. I love you, listeners. Don't judge me. Okay, go.
What does this have to do with you? What does this have to do with you, Carol? What does this have to do with you?
I know where we're going. I know where we're going.
I'm not going to quiz you. I'm not going to quiz. TLA was as far as I'm going because beyond that, when we're talking Gen Z slang, I'm not a Gen Zer. So I'm out of my element. So I'm going to be as awkward as Ted on this because this is so not how I talk. So he's returning, he's passing a test back to his students, and the students are in like middle school. So, and he's passing out the test, and it was a tough one, okay? And he's handing the papers back on these, you know, slapping them down. And he was like, kids, that last test was, no cap, on God, so savage, my students.
Okay, say that again. Okay, I'm being straight up. Like, I'm just going to own it. I'm going to own my ignorance. Let's go.
This last test was, no cap, on God, so savage, my students.
So savage, I'm meaning like wicked hard. I'm guessing that's what it means.
I think that, yes, and anyone who's under the age of whatever is going, oh God, that's so awkward. Yeah, well, welcome to life. Okay. So, yeah, he's trying to say badly using Gen Z slang.
Hey, it's not badly. It's there. We all had our own slang when we had our time. Come on, man. We've all had our slang.
Yeah, but do you really want to hear your teacher trying that out?
Oh, I see. Yeah, the teacher's using this with the kids, which is a little like, it's oh, like yeah. It's like a teacher coming up to you and going, hey, groovy. And you're like, yeah, fuck off. It's my word.
It's just weird. It's you don't want a teacher trying that, especially since it's not his vernacular. He's not that test was no cap on God, so savage. Like,
Can you translate, by the way, just for some of
that,
us?
Like, that test was no lie, like, for real, really hard.
Okay. I kind of got that. I got the gist. Okay, good. Okay.
You get the gist, and he's getting the gist, but I don't think that's quite how you use those phrases either. Gen Z listeners, feel free to correct me, but I also don't care. So, but his student...
Wow.
I'm never going to use that phraseology myself. I'm too old. I would never. It's just, it doesn't flow from me correctly. So I don't worry, Gen Zers. I will not.
I'm older than Maria, and I'll happily bring it back to life. Come on.
Oh, you want to start using no cap?
Yeah. Just tell me how to use it. I'll do it.
Honestly, I don't know either because you're asking the wrong person. Anyway, so he's trying to deploy the slang, but he's not doing great. He's doing okay. He's like, it's awkward. It's a weird fit. And his students are kind of like, "Eh, that's so cringe." That one's pretty easy to understand. There, and he's really trying it. And over the next couple of weeks, he kind of drops little bits of slang here and there. And then sometimes his students will, you know, one day they'll walk into the room, the door's been closed, and they open it, and they just see him standing there, kind of like still, with like a phone on a tripod facing him. And when the bell rings, everyone sits down, and they're all kind of waiting for him to start class. And then suddenly, you know, they're all sitting down, and he just waits a few more seconds. He makes sure that all eyes are upon him. And then he walks up to his phone, he presses a button, and then music starts playing from his phone, and the students all recognize it because it's like one of the latest TikTok songs. And then as the music's playing, Ted starts doing one of the fucking TikTok dances as he's explaining that day's lessons plan.
Is he twerking? That's what we talked about last time.
No. Well, TikTok dances aren't twerking. It's a lot of arm stuff.
Right.
It's lots of arms. Like, the joke is, like, it looks like air traffic control. They're not all like that, but...
The thing is, you know, that's really interesting because I did something similar.
You've done a TikTok dance?
No.
Is there a video?
Are you fucking nuts?
I was like, if you've done this, I want to see. I desperately want to see.
We had a flappy arm dance when we were in our youth. And the reason was to keep boys away. Literally. Right. So you would have this kind of bubble of space where you could dance without people kind of trying to grind you.
Yeah, that actually is, especially if you're of a certain age, that is pretty important.
It is.
I remember. Yeah. Personal space. Give me that personal space.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I just did a knee to the groin. That was my go-to move.
Oh, whoa. I never did that. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you're my height, it's pretty easy. Because I'm very short, so it's like, doink. Anyway. or in my case, sometimes it's also literally an elbow to the groin, because I was like at the right height for my elbow to just connect with a really tall guy. I'm really short, so it would be like, don't. And sometimes it happened accidentally. Anyway, that's not a TikTok dance. That's just literally me physically assaulting somebody. So that's not. Anyway, so Ted is trying, and he, you know, by the time you're listening to this episode, listeners, whatever TikTok dance I could mention now will already be out of date. So just insert the one that you know of right now. Pretend Ted is doing that one, okay?
Right.
He is trying so hard to go viral. Mm-hmm. He is trying so hard. And his students see that, and they're kind of like, at first, they're sort of like, okay, this is cringe. But then he's doing it so consistently, you're kind of like, you almost respect the hustle. You respect the effort, even though the result is not great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, he's trying. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. But, you know, these 30 students in this room, they're not the entire internet. Like, who knows? Maybe it'll work. So whatever. Go, Mr. Ted. Keep at it. Like, whatever. And he posts it right after he finished dancing. And then he gets on with the rest of the lesson, and like the class continues as normal, and he teaches the next couple classes, and then it's lunchtime, break time, so he heads on over to the teacher's lounge, and he's like, oh, you know, it's been a few hours since I posted that video. I'm really curious how it's going.
Yeah, refresh, refresh, refresh.
Refresh, refresh, refresh. So what do you think happens?
I'm really hoping he has hit his viraldom, and I'm hoping he probably did hit his viraldom, but probably not in the way he hoped, because it's the kids that made him viral in a mocky, look at this fucktard sort of way.
Well, see, Ted is thankfully not super naive. He realizes that is a distinct possibility, that he could be so cringe, he could go viral for being cringe.
Right.
And indeed, he's like, that's probably my best bet, because, but eyeballs are eyeballs. So if I go viral for any reason, that's a good reason.
Yep.
So indeed, he hasn't gone like super duper viral, but he's getting more views than normal. Like if he normally gets a couple hundred, he's getting like 10,000, whatever. So it's big for him.
Huge. It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. For him, that's huge. It's not like he's gone in the millions and millions, but 10,000 is like a lot for him. And he sits down on one of the couches in the teacher's lounge as he's eating his little brown bag sandwich that he brought from home. And he starts doing the thing that one should never do. He starts reading the comments. And he's like, oh, these are not good. Oh, these are not good. And as he's scrolling, the other teachers are noticing his face like falling. And like he starts going from like, oh, ha ha ha, they're kind of being mean, to, oh, Jesus, this is some really mean commentary. And at one point, Ted puts the phone down. And he tries not to let everybody see as he's like wiping a little tear away from the corner of his eye. Teacher colleagues goes, you know, Ted, I'm guessing that didn't go the way you thought. And Ted's like, yeah, they're bullying me because they say I don't have Riz.
I don't know what that means.
And then that's exactly what the other teacher says. She's like, what does that mean? And Ted kind of doesn't answer. He's like, God, how can they say I don't have Riz? I am made of Riz. I am all Riz. Ted is noticing that the person who's been spamming the he doesn't have Riz comment. Riz is short for charisma. So there you go.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. It's Jaden, which is one of his more outspoken class students who sits in the back. So there's often like running commentary from Jaden. He's like not a class clown, but he's a smart ass, right? So big surprise that he's being a smart ass online, but he's being brutal. I don't know what to do about this Jaden guy. And the other teacher's like, you know, Jaden's in my class too. And I have to tell you, that student is totally DTF.
I don't even know what that means. You fucking fucker.
Okay, so this little bit is predicated on you knowing what DTF means and how weird it is to hear a teacher say, my student is DTF.
I don't know what DTF means.
Could you perchance open up a browser of the web and put it into Sir Google's?
I'm doing it right now.
What does DTF mean?
Okay, can I tell you? Okay, I have an example of how it's supposed to be used. Can I just read that before they define what it means?
Yes, go for it.
Matt, I've got this breezy for you, Jake. Breezy. Is she hot? Matt. Yeah, son. She's DTF.
That didn't really illuminate what it means, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
No. Give me a sec. I'm going to use Google. Down to frolic.
Down to frolic.
That's what we would say in England, obviously. Down to frolic is what it means.
Down to frolic. So Ted looks up at the other teacher and he's like, did you just say Jaden is DTF? I'm not sure why you think something like that is an appropriate thing to say. Like that's super inappropriate. And the other teacher's face is sort of turning red. She's like, I mean, that is my accurate assessment of Jaden's performance, though. He's very DTF. And Ted is like going from offended and kind of like incredulous to like almost getting mad now.
I think there's a misunderstanding somewhere.
me thinks there is a misunderstanding as well, because the teacher's like, I really, really would not worry about Jaden because he is definitely
destined
DTF.
To fail.
Thank you very much.
Destined to fail.
You got it.
So
he is
Mr.
destined to fail.
Fake is at Gen Z is misunderstanding the DTF to be down to fuck as opposed to destined to fail, which is normal teacher slang, which obviously Ted's not paying enough attention to because he's obsessed with the kids.
Correct.
Oh my God.
You figured. Finally, you cracked the code. Well done.
It's never happened to me before. I'm like elated. I'm elated.
You cracked it. Well done, well done, well done.
Hurrah! And that's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
And we have launched a Patreon. Thank you to our many supporters on Patreon already. You are literally paying the bills. So that is all it's for, is just helping, really, just Carole pay for our web hosting bills, because they exist. This is not a free thing for us. And Carole is footing the bill for all of that. So thank you very much for all that support. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/stickypickles. And it's just a tip jar. So, you know, really, just lend your support. We love you. And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
We love you. See you in a few weeks. Bye.
See you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
By the way, it was our anniversary.
It was our anniversary?
It was on Tuesday. I'm sorry. I had all the intentions of texting like a normal person.
Oh my God. How many years are we on now?
Tell you in 1 second.
Jesus.
Analytics. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. We have had 112,000 listens.
Get the hell out. What?
I'm not kidding.
Who are you people listening to this? My God.
So, happy anniversary to us.
Happy anniversary to us. I can't believe it. So, what year are we on now?
Here's the stats that we've got. Okay, so I'm looking at it right now. This is live as of today, which is the 11th of October.
Jeez.
Yep. And that's over a period of 1,100 days. Averaging
1,100 days. How many years is that? How many years have we been doing this?
We've been doing this since October 2020. Yeah.
Since 2020. Okay. So the first episode was October 10th, 2020. That was with you and Anna. And then I joined for season two, and that was November 26th, 2020. Wait, really? I just joined like 2 months later? Really?
I think so. Because, I think we did 8 episodes, Anna and I, and then she had to skedaddle because she was having a baby.
Yeah, she was having a baby. Yeah, and that was when we were doing weekly. Oh my God. So I've been doing this with you now we've been doing this for 3 years. Holy hell.
We've been doing this for 3 years, and we have, so forth, that's 1,100 days, baby cakes. And we've averaged 101 listens a day, which, you know, for a show that we don't really advertise.
No, we don't advertise it at all.
Right. And, yeah. So I just want to say, listeners, that is that's commendable on all our parts. You guys for sticking with us, even though sometimes the stories, I'm sure, were subpar occasionally.
Never. Never.
Some were fantastic.
We do 11 out of 10 every time. Oh, listeners, y'all are amazing.
So there you go. There we are. Happy birthday to Sticky Pickles community.
Oh, happy 3 years to Sticky Pickles. Carole, it's been a journey. Thank you for bringing me on as of November 2020. My goodness.
And we've never had a fight, Maria, about it. I'm sure we've had a few like clippy words, but we've never fought.
Even the clippy words were things like,
yeah, little.
Little. I mean, my goodness, little.
Yeah. So huge thank you, listeners. See you in a few weeks.